This morning I'm going to read from the 12th chapter of John. So you can look at the back of your bulletin if you like, or you can just close your eyes and listen for the word that God has for you today. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor, and Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray Jesus, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and as keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews came out that Jesus was there, and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Yes. Okay, so true story for you this morning. I ordered some shortbread online this week. You know how much I love shortbread, right? I say it's the only food that will get served when we're in heaven. Well, it said that if I ordered one box of this sheep-shaped shortbread, that I would get one free. Well, I ordered 4 boxes. You know, I believe that the more shortbread, the better, right? You put in the little promotion code there online, and your bill shows up. But when I put the promotion code in, rather than it offer me one free box, it gave me all the boxes that I ordered for free. I thought, maybe I am already in heaven, right? So I emailed customer service, and I told them what happened. And indeed, while they appreciated my honesty, they corrected the order, so I am not due any free shortbread yet. One way to look at the atonement is that Christ paid for our sins, that Christ paid for us, that Christ paid our bill, that our ransom was given through Christ, rather than we pay for our faults, that Christ pays for them for us. Making a sacrifice was essential to those in the ancient world. It was an essential part of practicing your faith. It was an essential part of making yourself right with God, was making that sacrifice. And you either took from your own household, or you had to go and purchase that pigeon or lamb or whatever it was the priest told you that you needed to offer on the altar. And it really got quite costly. Many could not afford the cost of the sacrifice. Well, the cross became the symbol that the sacrifice had already been paid. It's been paid for our sakes. The ransom for our sin has already been paid on that cross. You might remember from stories like Naomi and Ruth that the ancients had a way of caring for widows. And what they did was the husband's brother would be responsible for taking care of the widow. He was actually called her redeemer. He paid the ransom for her sake. He took on her financial needs in the community. So today we're reading about Mary in the Gospel of John. Now, this is not Mary Magdalene. This is Mary of Bethany. This is the sister of Lazarus who has just come out of mourning because her brother was freed from death. He walked away from his bindings alive. He was alive again. And that event, the raising of Lazarus, initiated the plot against Jesus. Immediately, the Pharisees told the chief priests and the council everything they had seen when Lazarus was raised up again and said, if this man keeps on performing these kinds of signs, everyone's going to believe in him and Rome will come in and destroy us. So Caiaphas suggested, isn't it better for one man to die for the people rather than have the whole nation destroyed? And this began the plot to kill Jesus. So Mary is there in her home. They are honoring Jesus for his faithfulness, for his healing, for the gifts of friendship and fellowship that Jesus has offered to this family, and they are there to honor him. Mary is aware of this increasing resistance against Jesus, and as an act of pure devotion, as an act of pure thanksgiving and love, she pours out this expensive jar of perfume all over Jesus' feet. Now, that's significant. She used the perfume on his feet. She didn't anoint his head. When they anointed a king, they anointed his head with oil. This was Jesus' feet, the place on the body that is anointed and cared for after death first. She is already aware that something is going to happen. And she begins the process of honoring his work on the cross. And fragrance filled the room. Fragrance filled the room. Kind of like the earthly resurrection of Lazarus foreshadowed God's work in Christ to this eternal resurrection. And the presence and the power of God was so thick in that household that evening. Well, the cost of the perfume was the issue at hand, and Judas called it wasteful. You see, this scene illuminates Mary's faithful response, nothing being good enough for her Lord and Savior, and Judas' unfaithful response that he masked as outrage to the poor, though we're told that really he wanted the money for himself. He held the purse strings and he stole from the common purse. Well, we don't often place ourselves in Judas' shoes, but we need to remember that he wasn't the only disciple that betrayed Jesus. Peter and the others questioned Jesus. And the amazing thing that we need to learn from this is that Jesus doesn't betray Judas or Peter or any of the disciples. Jesus paid their ransom for their sin on that cross. Well, today is St. Patrick's Day. It is a day of national pride for the Irish. But here in the church, we would do really well to recover what the life of this saint was really all about. Most of us know that St. Patrick's the patron saint of Ireland, and most of us hear the legend and we remember that he was the one responsible for ridding Ireland of all snakes, right? Isn't that what you remember about St. Patrick, was he got rid of all the snakes? But his missionary work accomplished far greater things. Most of us don't know the harsh realities of his fourth century story. He was 16 years old. He was a child. And he was captured by pirates. He lived on the coast of what was Roman Britain at the time. And he was captured by Irish raiders. And he was taken from his home. And he was brought to work in Ireland as a slave. He was 16, a young child working as a slave. And his words tell it like this: I was humbled every day by my hunger and nakedness. Every day I was humbled by my hunger and my nakedness. And he worked the land. He spent long days among the flocks. He was a shepherd of sorts during those days. And he would spend a lot of time recounting everything that he could from memory about his Christian faith as a child. So if it was a hymn, he sang it. If it was a piece of scripture, he recited it. And that helped him hold fast to his faith during these days of hunger and nakedness. Well, after 6 years, he escaped. And he can imagine, you can just imagine when he got home, the family reunion, right? 6 years had gone by. They 22 years old. He had no correspondence with his family at all. And he shows up at home and they rejoice. But Patrick was not the same boy when he got home. In contemporary language, we would say that he endured post-traumatic stress syndrome. He was scarred by his ordeal, but his faith was very strong, and he began to understand that he had survived his ordeal for some divine purpose, and his faith was deepened. Well, one night, Patrick had a dream where actually he heard Irish voices, kind of in the form of an angel, and they told him that he had to return to Ireland. Imagine that. They told him to return to Ireland, the place where he had suffered so deeply. So in 432, he had already been consecrated as a bishop. He did. He returned to Ireland to serve God. And within 10 years, Ireland was Christianized. He personally baptized tens of thousands of people and ordained hundreds of priests. We must remember that St. Patrick was a victim of Irish injustice before his ministry to the Irish began, before he became that symbol of Irish pride. You see, the cost of sin is ever before us, and we are those who do not know how to redeem one another. We do not know how to offer redemption to the world. We don't know how to pay another's ransom. Only God has, is, and will accomplish our redemption. Atonement is a God act. Only God can pay our ransom. Leave her alone, Jesus replied to Judas. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So here's the thing. The fragrance of Christ's offering is ever before us. The rich perfume pays our ransom. The riches of Christ are poured over our lives, giving us honor to live and dwell in right relationship with God. Jesus paid for us to be made whole, and we get all of this for free. But like perfume, our very breath, our very life is but a vapor. Life is a fleeting moment. And the value of what we have is indeed expressed by how we share it. The value of what we have is indeed expressed by how we share it. The richest thing that we have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we hold that gospel tightly to use for ourselves, parceling it out on those that we agree deserve it? Could we learn from St. Patrick and return to the very place of our distrust, return to the very place of our discouragement, the place of our pain and suffering? Could we go and offer the gospel there? Jesus told Judas, "You will not always have me. The poor you'll always have with you." Well, the poor are those who do not have enough to eat. The poor are those who are naked. But the poor are also those who do not know Christ. The poor are also those who do not think they need to know Christ. And the poor are those who think that just a little bit of Christ is enough. The poor are also those who take and rob and cheat and steal from others. The poor are those who do not know their ransom has already been paid. Do you know anyone like that? All that God accomplished by the power of the Spirit of Christ on that cross paid a price that we could not. He gave us everything before we deserved it. His work redeems us. We can't save others. Only Christ can do that. But perhaps following Jesus is about giving more than we get. Perhaps following Jesus is about taking on the cost, be it financial or emotional, for redeeming another, fully caring for another even when they have hurt us. Perhaps like Mary, we might take the responsibility to give to God the richest thing that we own, even at the expense of criticism from others. What we pay for today may be the very thing that brings redemption to future generations. Rather than to hold on to the gospel and keep it safe, the power of the cross reveals that extravagance is born of giving it all away. The extravagance given out of nothingness makes way for a new creation. Amen.